calling to order the May meeting of the Kootenai Fire District Board of Fire Commissioners, Tuesday, May 8th, 5:30 p.m. President, Commissioner Pisano.
Commissioner Conley.
Commissioner Zace.
Chief Root.
And is anyone recording the meeting?
No.
Public comment? No public comment. Moving right along, review and approval of any previous meeting minutes. We have before us a copy of the minutes from the April 10th meeting. I've already reviewed them myself. I didn't have any comment about them. Have you two had a chance to look at them?
Yes, I have, and I have no comment either.
That's the other item. Our last meeting, you got an electronic copy of it?
I just love it.
Yep. Okay, so there are no adjustments to be made. Move we accept minutes of the April 10th meeting as published.
Second.
In favor?
Aye.
Conley.
Zace.
Pisano. Done. Chief, copy for your records. I left in the next item, report of the Policy Advisory Committee. Wanted to get back to that to find out if
you have any more to add about whether the committee is going to make a recommendation.
I wish I had more to add, but I don't.
Okay. All right.
Although there may be a recommendation coming. Yes, I missed the meeting.
Ah.
My apologies all around.
Okay. Moving to the Chief's report. Chief, floor is yours.
All right, so monthly activity. We did 70 total responses the month of April, 39 medicals, one chimney fire, 30 service good intent fault alarm calls. Administration, we've finally got an ImageTrend, our medical patient care report, software and firehouse connected to the CAD system, so they're fully connected to comms CAD system. Very painful, long process, but everything dispatchers type, everything is said on the radio is now recorded on the records for future reference, which will, and all the time is there, it's time stamped automatically by the computer, so it will make our records more accurate, more complete, and any kind of history will be better. We'll be able to do more with our database than we were before, so that's good. Still working with the town of Barnesville and Open Cape to get fiber options for us, but that's in the works, and nothing really new to report there. Training. May training. I guess the big one for this month is going to be substance abuse recognition and mental health. Per the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, we are required to give a class to the fire officers on substance abuse recognition. So as part of that, I've contracted with a mental health service provider, a woman who, her name is Heidi,
she's Irish.
Yeah. I'll think of it in a minute.
It may be Irish. Is it Walsh?
Heidi Wright.
Right.
Heidi Wright. She English. Was a retired military. She did mental health services for the military for PTSD. Subsequent to that, she worked for the a mental health facility in Burlington, Vermont, where she had worked at a program that specialized in first responders, fire, police, first responders, and PTSD. So she's agreed to come in. She now works on the Cape, agreed to come in and give a class. She'll talk some about substance abuse recognition, but also about mental health. And this is something I worked with Commissioner Pisano on, and we kind of worked on a proposal. The fire service, we've been very good at teaching people how to put fires out and how to treat medicals. In the last couple of years, the Fire Academy, the fire service has started getting good at physical fitness training, nutritional training. They do that at the academy now to a small degree, but we have, to a large degree, ignored mental health education, training, health at all, mental health. matter of fact, I did a little research. I knew that suicide rates were fairly high for public service, and it turns out that the studies now are showing that firefighters have a 10 times increased risk of suicide than the general population, which really is unacceptable. And the fact that the fire service as a whole does very little to nothing about it is negligent. So we thought a lot about how we're going to address this and how we're going to work with it. So I guess the start is to have this professional come in, and one of the main objectives is to destigmatize the receiving of mental health treatment. To tell the firefighters that it's not a weakness, it's a strength if you get help for mental health, and that no one will be made fun of, no one will be ashamed of it, and to talk about some skills to maintain mental health. At the same time, I'd like some type of a policy to encourage people to seek it on their own. We talked about having group sessions at the station, and either Commissioner Bazzano or I believe that we will get the full buy-in if we're doing this in a group setting, that there'll be a level of embarrassment and the stigma still is there. So what I propose is that we recognize mental health as a training, and that we, when somebody, that we give them an opportunity to get there on their own time, and reimburse them personal time as a compensation for it, as an incentive for it. The proposal here says that we would, once a year, if they receive mental health treatment, we would reimburse them 10 hours of personal time. Now, I talked more with Commissioner Connolly today, and he had what I think is a better proposal, and his proposal was that twice a year. So the twice a year, if they gave me a form or emailed me with the document when they received their services and that they're taking advantage of it, they would get 4 hours for each one. So twice a year, if they went twice in a year period, which first encouraged them to go more than once and hopefully give it a shot, they would get 4 hours each time. And that would come out of the training account, and I truly believe this is training, so that the compensation would be out of the training account. 8 hours per person comes to under five, I think it's $4,800 for the year is approximately what it would cost out of the training account.
Assuming every person.
Assuming every one of my 12 firefighters does it. And I honestly hope they do. And I think that if they start getting this help that most of us don't get, that I think we will ultimately see a savings in reduced sick time and reduced retirements, things like that. There are a lot of firefighters in the Cape that have gone out in psych disabilities. And the studies show there's a lot of suicide. So this is something I think is valuable. I think it's well worth the time. It's a start. I don't think it's the end solution, but I think it gets us started in a road that helps encourage people to get the help. And
I have a couple questions.
Sure.
So the training account, there's two training line items in the budget. this is the one that's not for performance of duties and things like that, right? It's like with a particular machine or apparatus, or like you're talking about the new masks, for example, and so forth. But this is the like education.
There's two educational accounts. One is to reimburse for labor, so it's overtime, to cover someone that overtime if they're on duty, or to pay them overtime to get training. That's the
is that the recommendation?
That's the account. This will come out of it. What we'd be doing was we'd be paying someone to cover their shift. So if they took their 4 hours of personal time, I'd have to pay another firefighter to cover them, and it cost me 4 hours of overtime. So it'll come out of the education salary account. The other education account is for we would pay this person, Heidi, to come in. So she's a contractor. She would bill us for however many hundreds of dollars the class is going to cost, and we would pay her out of the other account, which would be for training instructors that are not our own, for private companies.
So the root of my question is,
yes.
Historically, how have we done, I can't recall off the top of my head, in managing that overtime, the swap thing with the firefighters for training that they have to go to of any sort? Are we over budget, under budget, right on the money? For example, if we do some of this, we're going to reduce the ability.
We're going to reduce the ability. We also increased the training account this year, too. We have increased the training account with the assumption that we send one person to the academy every year. I believe, honestly don't have the numbers in front of me. I'll have to look them up. I believe we generally have extra money left in the training account. I don't think we use it all up. It's just, it's been used in different places. So the training for academy training was taken out of emergency funds, wasn't taken out of training account.
The expectation is that this is not going to lead to an over budget.
No, this is not going to lead to over budget. If we run out of money, we reduce other trainings. This is important enough that I think we reduce and don't allow some of the other trainings if in fact, we start running out. So it's getting close to the end of the year right now. We're talking about doing some other training at the end of the year. We're going to pay very close attention to the budget. And if we don't have the money, then we don't do the training. There's the possibility that this could reduce other training activities, but I think it's something that's important.
Chief, slightly different variation of what you described, Commissioner Connolly, slightly different variation of what you're describing than what we talked about this afternoon, right?
Yes.
So what we had talked about this afternoon was that the intent would be for the payment or allowance of 4 hours would be based on the firefighter utilizing their off time for that meeting versus going during work time and us having to backfill somebody else for their time.
Correct.
Because now we're having two different payments that have to be made, correct?
So we would have to make, you're right, I have to make it specific in the SOG that this is for off-duty time. You can't go on duty, have us cover you, and get personal time on top of it. That would
There is no coverage issue for that.
There's no coverage. They would do this on their own time.
Okay, all right. That was unclear. Thank you.
I'm sorry. You're right, it was. Yes, they do it on their own time. And as an incentive to do it, they would be able to take a couple hours off while they're on duty at a different time to be with their family or do whatever else they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. There are two other elements that play in terms of the training. One is the new contract we have offered more opportunity for trainings without specifying the type, and we don't know how much that's going to be utilized. At the same time, by virtue of switching over to Pro EMS, we have brought into the house the capacity for much less expensive training to occur for some of the people done in-house. So the next year I consider kind of an experimental year in terms of how this shakes out, what balances out one to the other, because it'll depend on utilization. And we can't fully foresee that.
We've been using the new contract, I think, since the fall, and there hasn't been a dramatic increase in the amount of training requests as a result of the new opportunities that the contract allowed the firefighters for training. But I have seen the firefighters take full advantage of the Pro EMS Prodigy training program, which they're doing on duty, which costs us $170 a year per firefighter, which is equivalent to pretty much zero. I mean, it's very low compared to what it costs to send them overtime to a EMS training somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Well, this package that you're proposing is something that I'd like to see implemented on an experimental basis for the coming year, and we may have to make adjustments or not. And this woman will do the first
workshop.
Right.
And we've got to see how it goes with her, what you think of her, how the firefighters respond. There are a number of places where we could get that kind of a resource. We got to find somebody that meets the.
My proposal was to give the firefighters a list of people that you gave me a list, and I came up with some of my own, to give them a list of recommendations, and they can pick whoever they're comfortable with. If it's one of ours, or if they find one of their own, it doesn't personally matter to me. I think it's more important they find someone they can work with.
That's for the individual part, but I mean the workshop in-house.
Right, the workshop in-house that's required the first year of the contract, or the part of it is. Mm-hmm. And maybe we repeat it, maybe we don't, depending on how this person is. And this is an SOG. This is something we can rescind at any point in time we want. This is not in the contract. It may be something everybody feels we put in the contract in the future, but we have the ability to rescind this at any point in time that you feel appropriate to do so.
Well, I would certainly support the idea of going forward with it on that basis.
With those changes?
Yes, these changes.
Yeah. So the changes being
twice a year for a total of 8 hours.
Okay.
We would put a target end date on it, just so that we, to your point. point.
Is it specified as off time?
I will, I will add that adjustment too, that it has to be off duty.
Yeah, because this is an SOG.
We'll write an SOG that reflects those changes.
Okay.
Do you want to put in the SOG that it's a, in writing, that it's a one-year trial program to be renewed or not renewed at the fire commissioner's decision 1 year from today?
I think that'd be appropriate.
I think that would be very good.
Chief, one other question for you with regards to the, this conversation. When is the in-house session scheduled for?
The 30th of this month.
30th of this month.
Yeah.
That is a, it's not a session, for, it's a, an awareness meeting, correct?
It's going to be a training class, though.
Training
class. It's going to be at least 2 hours where this person's going to talk about the contractual requirements for substance abuse.
Okay.
And then it's going to be a bit of a discussion session where these are some techniques she's going to recommend for dealing with stress and mental health. And I told her that the major thing I wanted to work on is to destigmatize the mental health treatment.
So you envision this as her speaking the entire time and having...
No, I envision her speaking part of the time and presenting the material and it organized. She's coming up with an outline. It's
okay.
Not a just... we've had classes before, people just come in and spout off and don't have an organized outline. She's presenting an organized outline, but part of it's going to be question and answer interactive with the people.
So let me get to where I was going. I should have discussed
yes.
it in the beginning, and that is there any objection to the commissioners attending that if they're available?
I don't know. That may be a question for Commissioner Pisano. I wasn't sure if outsiders were involved, if maybe the firefighters would be less likely
absolutely.
To talk. It's my thought. I don't know what you think. You're a mental health professional.
Retired.
Retired, but you know a hell of a lot more than
semi-pro.
I do. I don't know anything.
Semi-pro.
So what do you think? My first thought would it be great. My second thought was, you know what, maybe they want a little privacy amongst their group. And that, so I don't know.
I would prefer to not have any outside attendance for the first meeting.
For the first one.
Okay.
I think maybe in the future, if we do it again, I think that might be a great idea. Maybe.
Feel a little.
Well, we can
okay.
Get it.
Feel our way with it.
All right.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I think I'll do it for a year. Next is Town of Barnstable training active shooter school drills. We're still working on that. The police have been very busy. There's a change of leadership there. They're working on finding a new police chief. So we're still working with them. We had a long meeting with them today about training, about organizing and having meetings before storms, about having a emergency operations center, joint police fire, DPW center for storms and events. So we're working on that. Pearl EMS Comstar. The Comstar report's attached. The Pearl EMS doesn't come out till the 10th, so it didn't make this report, so I apologize. That's not in there.
I saw in the warrants that we're still paying both outfits. Do we have any now that...
It's a six-month time period, so it should be 8 months. So August, we completely switch over from Comstar to Pearl EMS. Personnel. The first issue in personnel is call firefighter application. So we have an application from this gentleman named Christopher Gardner. He's a local
Christian.
Christian?
Christian.
Christian, I'm sorry. Christian Gardner. I apologize. He's in the paramedic program. He was part of our Explorer program, the Katua Fire. He's in the paramedic program. He's been doing ride-alongs and working alongside us at the fire station since probably the last 6 or 8 months. Really good kid, positive, hard worker. He's working alongside. He was in today, and the guys were out when he came in. He said, hey, is there anything I can clean or wash, or can I do anything? He's just a really good kid. He's in the paramedic program. He's going to get his paramedic very shortly, and within the next year or two, he'll probably get a full-time job somewhere else. He's a good kid. Anybody would be lucky to have him. My proposal was to add him to the call firefighter list. We only have one of the call firefighter. This will enable us to use his services before he goes next year. It would give him used equipment we have. We wouldn't spend any money on him for the most part. If he came in and contributed on calls, he gets paid a small amount. Not going to impact the budget at all. The major thing it does is it gives him the ability to get training. He can sign up for any Fire Academy class through the Barnstable and Mass Fire Academy. He can't do that unless someone sponsors him. So if we give him that opportunity, then he gets a good jump on getting his career going, which he deserves, and he's earned it. and we get a little bit of help for him on the medical end for now. He's not going to be going into fires. He's not going to be going into hazardous situations unless he goes through the Firefighter 1-2 program a year from now, and he's still on our list, then he'll be integrated in a different capacity. So that's what I'd like to do with your approval. I included his resume.
I read the resume. Sounds like I actually think I met him at the house one afternoon.
Out a lot of the station.
What's one of the files that was in that thing?
Yes, yeah. I have it here if you want it as well.
Yeah, I have a copy of it. This was the original letter that he sent to Chief Olson. And,
he's been trying to get on for a long time.
17, and this is his resume.
Yeah. Pink.
Did you get a chance to see it?
I'm going to wait.
May. You got to scroll down to May 08.
Do you want another copy? I got another copy of both right here.
Setting this guy aside for a second. So we don't really utilize the full call firefighter.
We have one other call firefighter on staff right now, and we almost never, we don't see him very often. He just got his paramedic a couple months back. We don't expect him to be on the books much longer either. So we really don't have a call program. We haven't budgeted for it. It's something we're looking hard at. I mean, I've talked to Chief Maruka from West Barnstable Fire. They spend a tremendous amount of money and effort trying to maintain a call department. What they end up doing is training all the firefighters for the rest of the Cape, and they don't get people to last that long. So we're not against it. We're just kind of cautiously approaching it, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
It may be the year we come back and we say, you know what, we've researched it a little more, and we really want to do a drive to try to get more people. I don't know. I wish we could go back to the way it was 20 years ago and we could have a huge call department, but the world has just changed from what it was back then. So,
Chief, just a quick question.
Yes.
You referenced cost for the most part. Won't cost us anything for the most part.
So we do pay call firefighters per call when they come in.
Okay, so
I think
from
they
that
get like $15 an hour. That's what it would cost us. He would cost us every hour that he came in to contribute on a call, which is not a lot of money for
No, that's fine. Right. So no equipment, no training costs, none of that would we incur.
No.
If he signs up for something,
he goes to the academy, he goes on his own time.
Okay.
And I'll make that very clear to him. It's a benefit to him. Free training through the state for whatever to get him started on his career.
Okay.
And if he finishes the firefighter 1-2 training through the you know, gets certified with the state, then I have no problem with him riding our truck as a firefighter with gear that's appropriate and safe for him to wear.
So he would come under our umbrella for medical calls. Is that the case?
Yes, and he's already doing that. He's riding right now. Right now, if you had a medical, he would be on the ambulance to help you out.
He's got experience riding with Cape Cod ambulance.
So how do we track the costs?
The cost per person?
No, yeah, I mean, so into what line item does that go?
He would just get paid out of the firefighter response. There is no call firefighter line item anymore. It doesn't exist. So we get paid out of the same account that the full-time firefighters get paid out for calls. Because we haven't funded the other one. We had one person we expected to leave in months, and it wasn't make any sense to fund it.
Yeah,
so.
The monthly salary report.
Right.
Would show. So I think we would have pretty good capacity to track.
Yeah, it's tracking fire up so we can tell you exactly how many calls it went to, how many you got paid for. It's not.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's not about the money. It's about him getting his training that he needs and the coverage that he needs.
Well, I would certainly be happy to move that we accept his request and offer our sponsorship.
Okay. Second. Zace, aye.
Pisano, yeah.
Conley.
All right, thank you. Under Arsenal Personnel, there's a recommendation for storm responses, which I brought back to you twice. Mistakes. So I added the, I'm not an English major, I claim to be. And I added the number of responses. It was 74 responses over three storms. I missed the deadline to get into the Currents, the Civic Association. I will in the future try to get things in there more quickly and more often. We've talked a lot about Facebook accounts and creating more of a public presence, so I'm working on that. We'll get better at it. Thank you. Apparatus, 266, the new surplus Coast Guard boat, the electronics have been ordered, the fire association, with the donation from $10,000 donation from David Mugar, has ordered the electronics. I think it's approximately $13,000 in electronics for the boat. Those are on order. We're waiting for those. They did not order the fire pump. That's a $5,000. They're going to wait till probably after the district meeting to see if the boat gets transferred to them and make sure they have funds coming in to cover that.
Mm-hmm.
Going along with that, we should talk about that letter right now. Mm-hmm. I wrote a thank you letter to Mr. Mugar, thanking him for his support.
Yeah,
I read it earlier today.
So,
hey, Chris Dolly, check my grammar again.
She did a good job.
Good. I'm glad I didn't mess that one up. Also under apparatus budget, didn't include, or it's kind of equipment. Commissioner Connolly and I made a visit to the Barnstable Police Department, and we looked at their drone program. So, Detective Connolly, another Kevin Connolly, and what was the other gentleman's name? Sergeant, I'll think of it in a minute. Anyways, they showed us their drone program, gave us a demonstration. It was phenomenal. The ability of the drones to get high accuracy photographs, infrared pictures, in a very quick period of time, at a fairly low cost, was pretty dramatic. I think it's obvious to both of us after the program that this is a new technology that's going to spread its way everywhere. I think in a very short period of time, there's probably going to be drones mounted on the top of every fire truck, and the fire truck's going to pull into a fire, and the thing's going to automatically give us a 360 of the house and tell us where the heat is, where the occupants are, where the firefighters are. So it's an amazing technology at not a huge cost. I think the drones were running around $7,000, I think, and the training cost wasn't very high. So something I think we're both going to keep looking at and seeing how it best works for Kootenai Fire. And something we're just going to keep looking at and looking and see how the cost goes, how the funds are available, and mm-hmm. how it makes sense for us to utilize this technology. It will eventually. We will all be using it eventually. It's just a question of when and how we make the best use of it.
So we did, Chief and I both spent some time doing some research prior to speaking with Detective Kevin Connolly, as a matter of fact, in looking around. A lot of states, a lot of departments are starting to use it, not only for fire, but also search and rescue. So as we look at benefits that would ultimately play into the Kootenai Fire District, we'd be able to use it on both sides based on where we are. So it's pretty amazing technology, as the Chief said. Always improving, getting less expensive, actually. Operationally, Chief, you maneuvered the drone for a little bit.
I didn't crash it, yeah.
No, you didn't crash it, absolutely. We were concerned that we might have to put that in the line item if that happened. But, but the fact of the matter is, it'll stay in place, right? Once you put it somewhere, it'll hover in place. So there's a lot of benefits in the long term. There's some things we have to think about and talk about, and Chief and I will continue having those conversations.
Great. Well, I look forward to further.
You do have to be a licensed pilot, as I understand.
You need not a licensed pilot. You need FAA, FCC, FAA,
well,
FAA.
Some kind of test. It's some kind of cert that you got
to get. There's a certification you have to get, and they said it's not a big deal. It's not expensive. They were going to give us the book so we could actually get certified, the class book for it after they finished with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my buddy who's in the photography business and everything down there.
Yeah.
There is, I believe, a little bit of a gray area in that conversation.
Yeah, so.
When it comes to private use versus public use.
Right.
So yeah, but he lost a few drones in the process of learning it. So
I think they've gotten a lot better. Nowadays, they compensate for wind and everything else. So they fly in almost anything, and you just tell them to stay, and they auto-correct and everything else. So.
Well, for $7,000, I'd rather cook me dinner.
That would be nice, yeah. Yeah.
Estimate include.
Don't think so. That goes just the base unit, right?
Infrared wasn't part of that particular number. So that's part of the extended conversation, right? There are lights that can be put on it, there are infrared sensors that can be put on it, there's multiple different variations on cameras that can be put on it. So think of it as getting, you know, a car and then figuring out which options you want past it.
Mm-hmm. And if we had one that was compatible with theirs, we could share probably attachments back and forth between, if we're all us and whoever else has a public safety near, we can share components back and forth too.
The most one of the a couple of the very interesting things that went along with it is its ability to get in the air. So what when you put it into work, not the right term, right? But when you launch it, I guess is a better term. It'll probably take about 3 minutes, I think it was, for it to acclimate itself to where it is. So it identifies where it is. And it, when you launch it, it'll return to where it is if it gets to a state from an energy point of view, fuel point of view, that it can't return or that it would be in danger. So it knows where it is and it comes back.
It kind of takes us off topic, but Commissioner Connolly, I talked a little bit about volunteers helping with the program, which kind of brings me back to the conversation. We had a couple-hour conversation with the police department today, all five fire departments in Barnesville, the police department, and we are talking about starting a volunteer program, a public safety volunteers corps for the town of Barnesville. And the conversation comes up because of the shelters, the sheltering system in Barnesville. The volunteers from the Red Cross are scarce, and they have a problem getting help, so we're talking about maybe doing some type of a joint volunteer program, fire police, where they would do, you know, the public safety police academy and same things with the fire, and they would be available for storm coverages, events, assisting in non-emergency capacity and sheltering system. So something similar to the Red Cross, but something a little more. So we're working on something like that as well at the same time.
Was there any liaison with the Red Cross?
We do have the town of Barnesville does have liaisons that work directly with the Red Cross, but the Red Cross has problems getting volunteers, and one of their biggest problems is they have to distribute them everywhere. So they said this last storm, I think Plymouth decided they were going to put up their shelter before we did, so all the volunteers went to Plymouth, and there's nothing left for us. So that's kind of what started this conversation. They get volunteers at the police station that greet you at the front desk, and they can't. Plenty of them, they line up for the opportunity to come sit at the front desk and greet the public. So we're looking for maybe, you know, we don't have a number, we're thinking 30 to 50 people across the town of Barnstable that we would share the responsibility of keeping them active, engaged, and trained, and available to all of the town of Barnstable for these type of things.
Good.
Facilities, nothing new to report, and then cancer medical insurance, you asked me to keep track on that. There's no new movement on the bill at this point in time, so still in a wait and see over this day, this date. That's it.
Next item is the review of the executive session minutes from our November 14th, 2017 meeting. We shouldn't have these all on pink paper. I'm confused tonight. Yeah, I'm over here. You both had a chance to review the minutes?
I did.
Are there any concerns or questions?
No, this tracks with my memory, my recollection of the meeting.
In addition to the minutes, which will, upon approval, go into open records, I also enter in a few other accompanying documents. The original inquiry from the Inspector General's office, which triggered that meeting, started in my involvement in October 30th, 2017. In response to the complaint about overtime or vacation leave accrual, and they reviewed the history of it back to the original 2012 complaint. I don't need to read all of this verbatim. It'll be entered into to the record. At that time, the estimate was five firefighters accrued approximately seven unearned vacation days, valued at a total of $18,958. Two of these five firefighters have left district service. This was part of the Pierce exit, and received payment vacation time accruals. The remaining three firefighters were still in district employees and eligible to use remaining vacation time. The firefighters have a total of approximately $5,800 in accrued but unused vacation time that remains the open liability for the district. These three firefighters appear to have used some or all of their unearned vacation time. So it's already out the door. As a result of that, we received a letter from the IG that I'm referencing, requesting a response to this material. Subsequent to our meeting and with the materials we forwarded to our attorney, the IG, our formal response that we were required to get in by the end of November of last year. This document is going to also be posted with the minutes from this meeting and reflect response. Subsequently, this entire process has been swinging in the wind with repeated requests for the information, which we have been pending a response from the Inspector General's office about the status of the investigation. Now for the magic last page. Somebody got to keep track of all this paper. I want to enter into the record that the Inspector General's office responded to us in April 19th. The Inspector General's counsel informed our attorney that it is policy of the Inspector General's office to not confirm or deny the existence of an investigation or an audit, even the counsel of an entity that is the subject of such investigation or audit. Since they will not confirm or deny the existence of an investigation or audit, they will not comment on any status of an investigation or audit. So, no information on what the status is now. After having that policy explained to me, I asked, does that mean you will not comment on the status of an investigation while it is ongoing? We were told that they will not comment at any time. I asked her, does that mean that in all likelihood the fire district will never receive from the Inspector General any correspondence indicating that the audit or investigation has been concluded, whatever the outcome? She said, yes, that is what will probably happen. Subject to that, we decided that there was no longer any purpose to keeping the material in executive session. With approval of these minutes and the attendant documents, these will become public record. And I move that we do that now.
Second.
Zano?
Zace.
Unanimous. In preparation for that, since the petitioner is here, here is a copy of the minutes that were just approved, the letter our attorney sent to the Inspector General, and they're out of order. The letter that we got from the Inspector General and the letter that we spent.
The Inspector General, yep.
Okay, the last item on the agenda is a report of the May 4th workshop. And I've already written to the union president and asked him to post it for the entire staff. staff that Commissioner Connolly and I and EMS Coordinator Dolly were in attendance at this workshop, and I found
I apologize, I could not go, but I think I missed a fun time.
It was a wonderful experience, very well organized and conducted. It was impressive, the hands-on experience. I can personally attest to being challenging. Clearly, there was an interest on the part of the state union to promote awareness among elected officials about the value of both manpower and equipment, and they certainly accomplished that, but it was highly educational, and I really appreciated the opportunity to participate. I wanted that in the record.
You carry hoses up the building and everything?
We did. We took live hose into the burn building and put out live fire. We got our smoke indoctrination. We got to do a second story medical evacuation, and we got to do an extraction. And let me tell you, the jaws of life were gas to use.
You said they couldn't get them out of your hands.
Well, I still have it in the trunk of my car. Oh, I didn't say
They're wondering where they are. Anyone seen the jaws of life?
That was a great experience. And I just want to get that on the record. I also want to encourage you, if they repeat this next year, and hopefully you might be able to participate in the active drill as well. Okay, if there is nothing else, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Second?
Second.
In favor?
Conley.
Pisano.
Zates.
Done.